Hey, folks. Time for the movie retrospective.
Yeah.
Guess what one we're talking about today?
I'm talking about Gargoyles.
Gargoyles. Yeah. The TV movie from the 1970s.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it on television as a kid. I liked it.
You must have been a little kid. I mean, I think they showed it later. Yeah, I think they re-showed it later.
You too. You know what I mean? I remember like around 76. It was probably around 75 or 76 it was on there too. They replayed it several times. Kind of like they did with Salem's Lot. I think they played that a couple times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they do reruns of it.
Yeah, this is actually, if you see any list of, kind of best TV movies from the 1970s, this usually turns up on most people's lists. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, this isn't some, total complete classic or whatever. It's sort of like, it's a pretty cheesy monster movie, but it's pretty fun for 1972, and the gargoyles look pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. Let me back up a little bit.
All right. Let me back up a little bit.
Yeah. I gotta take the audience back to this era. This is before the first real convincing fucking monster I had ever seen as a kid on the screen was Alien 1. And then when Predator 1 came out, when it took its mask off, I was blown away. But I was basing everything about realism and how good a monster looked based on this movie. This was like the first movie where you had kind of good costumes, kind of good monster costumes. They were the feature of this little movie, television movie. Now, you have to understand that this is before HD. So you saw it on CRT TV, which didn't have real good resolution. So some of the weaknesses that you see in the new streaming versions in kind of HD, you couldn't see that those weaknesses of the costumes back in the 70s on television. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot more forgiving. Seeing it now, the movie, it still looks good, but it's obvious that they're rubber suits.
Yeah.
They didn't look so fake back then compared to what we were used to in the 70s. That resolution.
I think like the makeup in the faces
was good.
Looked a lot better than the bodysuits.
Yeah. There was not enough muscularity in the bodysuit. It looked like just a man in a wetsuit with scales.
Pretty much.
There wasn't any other features. They should have put more clothes on them. But they were only supposed to be a few days old anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good story. They tell you the whole fucking story and spoil the end of the goddamn thing in the fucking 2-minute monologue at the beginning.
Well, yeah.
At which they narrate the beginning, which you should never do that. You really weren't even supposed to do that in the 70s. But I think what they're trying to do is that science fiction and horror was so unpopular in the 70s, even on television, that they had to give you some kind of a hook to keep the audience watching.
I think that's the only reason that's there.
To make them interested in it, because horror movies and sci-fi were really low budget. Was really low budget in the 70s, and it was for kids. It really wasn't made for adults. It wasn't really until Alien 1 came out that horror sci-fi was now for adults.
Yeah, because I think even prior to that, it was more seen as like a teenager thing.
Yeah, kids.
Even throughout the whole 80s, it was kind of more seen as a teenager thing. Yeah. Particularly slasher movies.
Before Alien, there were really only two movies that adults, sci-fi horror that adults liked. War of the Worlds, the 1950s version, that looked pretty good. Remember that one?
Yeah.
With the damn boomerangs and wow, wow, wow. You know, and fucking when it blasted that preacher, I was appalled. I was like, oh, this is for real. You know, they killed the fucking preacher. Damn, the Martians don't give a shit about Christianity. Jeez. And then the one after that, the one actually before that, I think, was, it was also taken pretty seriously, was Forbidden Planet. Forbidden Planet was pretty good. Parts of Forbidden Planet still kind of hold up.
Like it does, actually. Yeah. That is actually one of the best movies of its era, if not the best sci-fi movie that era.
Right. So, standards were very low in the 70s, and if you're going to come out with a sci-fi horror television program, you're going to have to differentiate it from everything that came before. So, and this one kind of did. I remember my dad was impressed with it back in the 70s.
Well, one,
he was like, that was pretty good.
They didn't, and this is actually like a pretty decent, like I said, from today's standards, it's pretty cheesy, but You have to think too, this was 1972. There wasn't a lot of kind of monster stuff that was made for TV, and also shit that was made for TV. It had like a super low budget.
Yeah.
So considering how low the budget was, this actually looks pretty good. Now it's interesting that we were talking about the makeup and the suits and stuff on the gargoyles. So, and it's interesting too, that you mentioned like Predator and Aliens and stuff, because the makeup on the gargoyles was done by a young Stan Winston. He actually won an Emmy for this. And Stan Winston, most famously, would go on to do the special effects for Predator 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Terminator 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Jurassic Park 1 and 3. I don't think he did the second one. He also did Iron Man, like in more. He did Monster Squad. He did like a fuck ton of movies. And he also directed some stuff. He did Pumpkinhead. I think he did some Liz creepy, like Michael Jackson videos and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it makes sense.
But yeah, he's super famous, dude. He's passed away now, but yeah.
Yeah, it made sense now. You know, I didn't know who he was. But this movie did make an impression in the 70s.
Yeah, and a lot of people still remember it that saw it as kids.
It was not a piece of shit. It was good. The ending is...
Man. Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah. The very beginning and the end, and the beginning, there shouldn't have been any narration. All right? They had this little narrated scene. It starts off, it shows photographs of the fucking old photographs on European stuff that may not be there anymore. I don't know. Fucking creepy old, because it looked pre-World War II, the photographs.
Yeah.
Maybe that shit was destroyed in bombings. I don't know. These fucking creepy-ass gargoyles on these churches and shit everywhere. And the narrator comes out and says that like every 500 years, these gargoyles hatch in their reproductive cycle and in the thousands and come out and try to take over the Earth. But every time they've been, you know, defeated every 500 years. And, you know, they take a lot of liberties with history.
Well, and a lot of liberties. Yeah. I think it's, well, one of the weird things about this movie, one of the things that I find really weird is that in the first, you know, opening narration, like you said, there's a lot of pictures of, you know, like Notre Dame Cathedral and stuff, you know, all the gargoyles on there. And there was a still from Hexan, that silent movie in there, too. I saw that. Yeah. But I'm not really sure if they knew that that's where it was from or they just found it someplace. But they are basically conflating gargoyles with demons, like Satan's minions or whatever.
Yeah, and that's not really what they were.
Yeah, but then, like, in the actual movie. So it almost kind of feels like that, you know, preamble was sort of like an afterthought. Because in the actual movie, the gargoyles are, like, you know, kind of bad guys, but they're not that evil. You know what I mean?
They're just another species.
Yeah, they're just like another species that's just trying to like...
But, well, we got to back up on that. The narration, okay, one of the things that's a little different about this story, if you're going to narrate it, then they leaned into this shit. They go ahead and say Christianity is real. The devil actually exists. These are his creations.
Yeah.
All right. And that these things basically worship the devil and try to take over for the devil. And what's weird is that during this collage of, and then they'll show shit from like Bosch's paintings, you know, which all that shit was cool. And at the very end, they actually spoil the monsters. They show its face. They never should have done that. You never spoil the monster. They spoiled your fucking main monster, your main gargoyle, spoiled it right there in the first minute of the movie. So they clipped the movie's nuts off, you know, already. Well, you know, I know that it's just television and they probably weren't taking it seriously. And it probably, you know, the station demanded that. The television network demanded that. And they grafted that in there because you could easily take that out and the shit would play
because
a lot
better. Because I kind of feel like, I mean, you do get to see a lot of the gargoyles in this. And there are a lot of different gargoyles and they all look
male
different.
And female
which
ones.
I think is cool. Like they mean all of the, you know, they all look vaguely reptilian or, you know, whatever, but they all have their own look to them, which I thought was cool.
They were reptiles. They had reptile monkeys, fucking porcupine one looking ones. And some of them just look like demons with wings and shit.
Yeah.
And monkey eagles, they're kind of like griffins, where they're cross part monkey with like an eagle beak on it. They look pretty cool. They're like something off, they were inspired by the statues, you know.
Yeah. And they kind of looked a little bit like the flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, kind
of. A couple of them did.
But what
I was what I was saying was that, you know, you get to see a lot of them, you know, over the course of the movie. But when the movie starts, you don't see them for a while because they kind of build up or they just like show a shadow like on a mountain or something like that. So, you know, that's why I kind of feel like that little, you know, collage thing in the narration at the beginning was probably pasted on, as an afterthought, because it did seem like the movie was trying to be like, oh, what's this that's following them around? Even though obviously the movie's called Gargoyles, so you know that it's Gargoyles.
They spoiled the shit already.
They should have called it something else, like Winged Evil or something.
it's a pretty cool little flick. Well, they're begging you to watch it. They're begging you to watch it.
Come on, it's Gargoyles, motherfucker. Yeah. Who doesn't want to watch Gargoyles?
And it's the movie is basically a cross between Hills Have Eyes and Planet of the Apes, but the Planet of the Apes, they would be demonic plant of apes, you know, be like that.
Some of whom can fly. They can't all fly, just some of them.
You got like this anthropologist and his daughter. He picks her up at the airport or the other way around. It didn't really matter. She's wearing the most hideous 70s outfit of all times.
You guys, he spent half the movie complaining.
I was analyzing why the hell they
about her outfit.
First of all, she was kind of like the California girls I grew up with, you know, when I was a kid, and they were all in their late teens, early 20s, down Sierra Nevada Mountains, down Sequoia, running around nudists and shit, just slutty, fucking with the tube tops and the tank tops and no tops and nip slips and fucking all kinds of weird shit, and they would just undress in front of you. It was bizarre. It was another time, but it was just the way hippies were. So she had this terrible top on, and these fucking skirts that they used to wear back in the 70s, they were like denim. And they had slits going down the front. And everything was high-waisted. And it was just ridiculous. I remember they wore those things around, but underneath them usually was a bikini top. They mostly took those things off. They were kind of like beach wear. She's wearing that and flip-flops. And she's wearing this with her dad, and they go fight fucking gargoyles out in the damn desert when she's wearing basically halter tops through the whole thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and the fucking gargoyles are interested in the halter top. One of them was grabbing her boobs.
Well, implied. And, he was kind of hovering over, because I was like, hey, this is CBS, this is network TV. Yeah. They're showing it at 9:30 p.m.
And the angle and shit, you know, I know he's grabbing her boobs.
But he's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, there's nothing real, nothing really about the story. It's kind of like, it's a similar story to Hills Have Eyes. They go out to the desert. Bad shit happens. They get attacked by this old... First of all, they're investigating this old dude. And this old dude, he's like this stereotypical minor 49er. Yeah, well, thanks for coming. And I got all this. Look at this. No, it's the real thing. You know, he's
Uncle
like,
hey, Willie.
Uncle Willie, yeah.
He has one of those kind of little museums.
Museums on the side of the road.
On the side of the road.
You know, where they show you monkey fish and shit like that, mermaids.
There's like old refrigerators and cars up on blocks out in the yard.
In the back, I got the real thing. I'm going to show it to you, you know. And that's why I called you. We're going to write this book together. And he's got the skeleton of a fucking gargoyle. It's got wings and fucking a head with... And he goes, I need to have this carbon dated. But the dude that's looking at it, he goes, oh, you just pieced together a bunch of animal bones and human bones. That's fake. And he's going, no, this is the real thing, you know? And while they're trying to cut a book deal, and he's, well, I'm going to take the head. The head was pretty bizarre. I could tell it was a steer's head. They changed the horns on it.
Did they change the horns?
And they took the teeth out of it and put a big beak on the front of it, you know? And while they're trying to cut the book deal, the fucking barn that they're in gets attacked by the damn gargoyles. And they're trying to get the skeleton. And they kill Uncle Willie and set his ass on fire. And the dude and his daughter fucking run out.
They indirectly kill Uncle Willie. Yeah. Because they just kind of fuck up the shed.
The roof beam
falls on him. And then
a
lantern falls on him. I'm like, no, it wasn't Uncle Willie's day.
No.
I can just hear him going, dang, damn it.
Yeah, so they run off. They run off, and fucking her dad has got the damn head still to the skeleton. And they go to the local, what do you call them?
They get attacked by gargoyles first because it fucks up their car.
That's right.
Because they wrecked the car.
It was fighting on the car.
And then, it jumps on the car and shit. Yeah. And then they have to go to the gas station to get the car fixed.
Yeah.
And so then they have to stay in the motel because their car is like super fucked up.
Yeah.
So they have to go stay at the motel
It was a pretty good scene. Yeah, that's fun. It was a pretty good scene for the time. You know, the gargoyles riding on top of the car. It was pretty good stunt, especially for television at the time.
Can you imagine having all of that suit and that makeup on and just having to like jump up and down
fighting
like over this moving car and shit like that? So yeah, props there.
So they go to this cheap motel and living in there, father and daughter in this room, and the woman owning the hotel is she's lush, she's drinking, she's trying to get laid by the old dude.
Yeah, she's super thirsty.
Just real thirsty. he's blowing her off, and then the gargoyles attack that room to try to get that skull. All right. And they run out with the skull. And he's chasing them, and three of them are running out the front door, and the last, very last one tries to cross the street and gets hit by a truck. And he jumps on it and looks at it. He makes eye contact with it, and it dies. So they lose the skull, but they got the whole body now. So they take the body back to the room. The owner of the place starts attacking. What are you guys doing? You're tearing my shit up. What was all this noise? Why are you fighting? And they hide the body. They don't want her to see it. It doesn't make any sense. I'd show it to her. So look, this is what.
Yeah, this is what was. We didn't do this shit.
But
don't charge me for this crap.
Yeah, back in the 70s, you know what I mean? You protected the identity of the monster because no one would believe you, even though you have the monster.
So that's another thing too, is that when...
Let's not show them. They'll never believe us. You know? What are you talking about?
You have one right there. You have the fucking body.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, so I mean, I can see that, yeah, they wouldn't believe you if, like, you know, they all took off.
They had the damn body.
But they had a body. Right. In which case, if shit, man, if I had a gargoyle body that got hit by a truck and I had it in the hotel room, I'd be showing every fucker that.
Yeah.
But, well, yes, that's the thing too, is that... So they don't want to show, like, the thirsty lush lady at the motel, like, with her fucking robe and her curlers.
Yeah.
So sexy. But it was a house coat, actually.
Yeah. Old padded house coat.
It was one of the quilted house coats.
When you were a little kid, your grandma's grandma wore that shit.
Yeah, with, like, the little pink curlers in her hair. Yeah, and she was, like, taking them out, like, oh, I have to look presentable for my gentleman collar. Yeah. But, yeah, it was, like, that kind of thing. But so the next day, like, of course, you know, Dr. Foley and his daughter, Diana, I don't even think they said what their names are, who are the main characters, you know, since Uncle Willie got killed in his fucking shed, so I was like, does it occur to you that maybe you should go to the police because you're going to get blamed for that shit?
Yeah.
But it so happens that the cops decide they're going to blame it on this gang of, well, I don't, gang, that's kind of
they're
like,
just a group of
they're just a group
guys.
Of dudes. It's not a gang.
On dirt bikes.
Yeah. One of whom is played by Scott Glenn, for Christ's sake.
That's that guy's name.
Yes. Who was like, it's probably like the most recognizable
he
one.
He's been a bunch of westerns and shit.
Yeah, and he was in Silence of the Lambs too.
Yeah,
he played the head of the like he was Clarice's boss.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, so that's where I remember him most from. But yeah, he's been in a shit ton of westerns as well.
Yeah, and then it gets kind of convoluted around this point. They're trying to fill some time, and it turns out that they eventually convince the police and the motorcycle gang that there's this cave in the side of a mountain, and then there's a big nest of eggs, and these fucking gargoyles hatch, and they're underneath the earth, and every 500 years they come out. Now, they captured his daughter and took her in there during all this. They got the girl.
Yeah.
And he's the main gargoyle's trying to get her to teach him how to read these books. Well, no, he just wanted her to read them. He was having her read the books.
Well, yeah, because he's like, I'm too lazy to read. Yeah. You read to me.
Well, I don't think he could read. And they were only a few days old.
Yeah.
They weren't very old. And I guess they had race memories because they could speak when they woke up. And they knew the history of their race, but they didn't know much about human beings. They wanted to know more about what the hell was going on. And he had her reading stuff about incubuses and about women who were surrendering to incubuses and shit.
And then he's like, ooh, he's like, yeah, that's like, going to happen. That's some incubus porn super into it.
Yeah, it's inferred that gargoyles can impregnate human women and they can have offspring. And he was... And then his female gargoyle was getting... His gargoyle girlfriend was getting pissed at him because he was messing with this human woman too much. He was trying to be nice to her, but you could tell he'd be evil every now and then. He couldn't help it. He was fucking evil.
The evil would just slip.
Yeah, his evil would come out.
I love the scene where they, you know, they kidnap Diana and they take her back to the caves where all the other, because there's like a handful, maybe like a dozen gargoyles there already, but then they're all like a bunch of eggs, so they're waiting for all the eggs to hatch. And so they're in the cave, and the main gargoyle's wife, I guess, like, comes in there, and she's all
pissed
off.
She's the alpha female.
Yeah, she's, like, all pissed off. She's like, you know, what's that little tramp doing in here or whatever, you know, kind of thing. And he's just like, oh, it's okay, honey, whatever. See, he doesn't talk, but he's just, like, hugging her.
No, they were doing some kind of mental thing.
And then, like, when she turns around and leaves, he smacks her
ass. Smacks her ass.
The gargoyle slapped his gargoyle wife on the ass.
It was great.
Just don't worry, you pretty little gargoyle head about it. It was so
perfect.
Fucking funny.
It was perfect.
I just died laughing at
it. It was perfect for the tone that they were trying to tell that these were, you know, he was an incubus. Of course he smacked a bitch on the ass, you know. But
I just like, seriously, I fucking died laughing at that part. I'd seen this movie before, but it had been a long time and I had completely forgotten about that scene. And
the special effects inside the cave are pretty good. Looks like it might have been filmed at Carlsbad Caverns. They were in a real cave.
The eggs and shit looked cool.
Yeah, the egg room looked like it was taken out of one of those old 1960s, like a high budget 1960s British movie, like, you know, Voyage to the Center of the Earth or something like that.
Yeah, but, like the lighting and shit.
Yeah, really the lighting cool. And the scene kind of tone.
Or it looked like Star Trek a little bit. Like, kind of. Like slightly like Star Trek.
They were, the big eggs would hatch and a little kid would come out
like
in a gargoyle costume, like a and all the females kid. Petting on him. Hey, it's all right. He's coming out.
Hey, new baby gargoyle. Yeah.
They're bringing new ones into the world. You know, there can be thousands of them. And so the cops and the motorcycle gang go down there to deal with the damn gargoyles.
Yeah, because they have to get the Diana back, you know.
Yeah, there's gargoyle fights and fucking gargoyle shootings and the horses are involved.
Gargoyles, like, smack a couple bitches off their dirt bike.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn over a couple cars.
Yeah. Now, this is what they do. The gargoyle suits look pretty good, especially for the time.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you were just running around in them, it would just look like a Japanese monster movie, like something out of damn, what's the word I'm thinking of? Fucking Power Rangers. It would look like something out of Power Rangers.
Yeah, it would.
So what they would did is that they slowed everything down. So whenever you saw the gargoyles moving or running, they had it in slow motion.
Slow-mo, yeah.
To make it look a little less rubbery, I think, because the little things on them would probably wiggle. Because they had wings and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it would probably look kind of comical if it wasn't slowed down. When you slowed them down, they were trying to make them look like they had a little more gravitas.
I guess so. They wanted to make them look more unearthly or something. I'm not really sure why. It was
probably pretty effective compared to if you saw it in normal speed, you'd just see a dude in a rubber suit.
Yeah, that would look like my klutzy ass running around in like a monster suit.
I'm trying to think of else what happens. They rescue the girl. He gets pissed because the demon loses his girlfriend. The dad rescues her, which is weird because you got the dad almost kind of like in the fucking leading man thing. And it kind of felt incestuous.
Tad. I mean, I did like that.
Should have been a leading man rescuer, not the dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I always wonder why they do that type of thing, because it's kind of reminded me, I know this might be kind of out of left field, but I only just thought of it. This sort of reminded me of that old caveman movie. Did Roger Corman make it, called Iga?
That was a
father and daughter too. And man, that was really weird. Like the fucking shit that was in that. She's like, you know, there was a thing where Iga like kidnaps the dad. And then she gets kidnapped too, or they both get, I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time. But there's this kind of thing where she's like, oh, I'm going to like sit on my dad's lap and like shave the caveman. Okay, this is like...
Yeah, there wasn't any of that going on.
This is making me very uncomfortable. But, well, one thing that I did notice that they did was when they checked into the hotel, run by the drunk lady, they actually did get two separate rooms.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were sleeping in the same room, because that might have been a little weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as I did kind of wonder about that. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like a strange dynamic. It wasn't too creepy. It wasn't like Ego level creepy, but you know what I mean.
It was just like, it was kind of like, why is he saving her? It should have been the motorcycle guy should have been the one that saved her.
Yeah, see, that's what thought they were setting up, because, you know, the motorcycle guys, they got blamed for killing Uncle Willie setting the fire that killed him, rather.
It would have been a traditional, like, love interest thing, too.
Yeah. And
that's
then
what I thought was coming.
So they got locked up in the jail.
Yeah.
And then Diana, like, went to the police station, like, ran to the police station in the middle of the night, was like, hey, let them out. They didn't do anything. It was the gargoyles that did it. But, of course, they didn't believe her. So yeah. And then she was, like, talking to him and being like, yeah, there's monsters and maybe you should.
Yeah. I have a funny feeling that that's how this story was originally going to go. Is that
the biker
dude was going to save her, and then they'd go off in the sunset for maybe some kind of contractual or some kind of ego lessons, the older ego reasons. The older guy goes, oh no, I have to be the hero. In the contract, it says I'm the hero.
Yeah.
Might have been something
maybe
like that.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe, because I would have thought, yeah, like you said, usually stories like this, it would go like the dad would like sacrifice himself, maybe, for example, like for her to live, and then she'd run off with Scott Glenn Motorcycle Man.
Yeah, and then the motorcycle guy saves her. And then it ends up like the fucking video, aha, you know, take on me. Yeah, you like that, yeah.
Sure.
That's what I thought it should have.
Now,
that's the way it would have gone had I wrote this bitch.
Well, like I said, that is the more standard monster movie.
Yeah.
Usually the old guy dies.
Dies.
Because it's almost kind of like, oh, well, the old guy. He's being replaced, but it's like the weird thing where your dad gives you away at the wedding. It's like, I can feel like it's that kind of.
Well, now, yeah, the dad self-sacrificed, and besides, the older generation's got to go, and the new generation comes in. That's all it is.
Yeah. So I do kind of feel like that's usually standard how it goes.
Yeah.
But it didn't go that way in this one. I think everybody lives, except some of the motorcycle guys get killed by the guard. Yeah. Maybe do some of the cops get killed too? I think.
Yeah,
maybe
the cops gonna get killed.
Yeah, so I think some of them get killed, but it was nobody whose name you knew, so it's like
didn't matter.
Nobody worry about it. Yeah. You know, all the named characters, like, they came through okay. Now the weird thing about this, I'm not sure if this is true or not. So this movie.
Wait a minute, hold on.
What?
We didn't talk about the end.
Well, that's what I was just gonna get. That's what I was just gonna get. What I was gonna say was that this movie actually first premiered. It was on CBS. It was like their 9:30 p.m. like Tuesday night movie, because I guess you know how ABC used to have movie of the week, and that was like a really big thing. So this was like CBS's attempt to like compete with that. They did like a Tuesday night movie or whatever. Yeah. And so they wanted to do shit that was like more lurid, I guess, because the ABC ones were mostly like murder mysteries and shit. So they wanted to do like some monster movies so they could have their own kind of thing going. Yeah. Now I heard, and I'm not entirely sure if this is the case, and this ties in with the ending that we're going to be talking about in a second. I heard that this was supposed to be a pilot for a series.
That made sense. That's the end. The ending kind of sets that up.
Because the ending of this doesn't is very sense. Abrupt.
Yeah.
And most of the others, there's not a lot of other reviews of this, but I think Cinemassacre reviewed it, Geek Legion of Doom or whoever this, I think they reviewed it. And both of them said the same thing. They're like, the ending of it, it just stops.
It just ends. And here's the thing. It was going kind of like a reversal of the Planet of the Apes theme.
Yeah.
And that was, they made a series out of that too. Some people said the television series is pretty good. I've never seen it.
I've seen it, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, if somebody wants to send me the series, I'll watch it. We'll review it. But it seems like they were setting up a series. They left it unclear whether or not all the eggs were destroyed.
Yeah, because they went in there and kind of, Scott Glenn went in there and burned all the eggs, like he poured gasoline over them.
One can.
He had one and a half cans.
Yeah, one and a half, and there's supposed to be thousands of eggs.
Even though there clearly wasn't.
Yeah, clearly it was like a couple of dozen eggs that he burned up.
I mean, they didn't have the budget
and
to
then,
show like thousands of them.
What happens at the end is that the fucking dad wounds the gargoyle's girlfriend.
Like her wings, so she can't fly.
And she can't fly, so which makes him have to evacuate her by leaving. And they had this fucking scene. This was a big deal back in the 70s where he picks her up and flies away through the air.
That's the only time that you see the gargoyle flying.
Yeah, and you see him with the wings flying and he's carrying her. It looks very mediocre by today's standards. Superman 1 with Chris Reeve, that flying was a lot better. But they were trying to do something like that.
I mean, the flying in that still looks pretty amazing.
The flying
today.
In that still looks pretty good. but this, and it's just a shot of him and it's real dramatic. Like you're seeing some heavy shit. Look, he's flying. And I'm going like, boy, I wonder what that bet you that wire's on a crane.
Yeah, it would have had to be.
Yeah. And it's nothing really impressive, you know. It's just okay.
Not really, but like I said, for a TV movie in 1972, it was probably a big deal. That's why they waited until the very end to show because they didn't. Like I said, they didn't all have wings. I think they said only the breeder ones had wings.
Yeah, the ones
like
breed.
I guess the other ones were like drones or whatever.
Yeah, they were like the army ants.
Yeah, so like the other ones did have wings, so they didn't all, but they didn't show any of them flying.
Here's the reason why I think maybe they probably didn't make a series out of it. Because I was, during the final scene, it's very apparent that these gargoyles are not that capable. They're not much more capable than a human. Some of them can fly. They're strong enough to pull a car door off. They have claws, but they're not bulletproof. The cops are just shooting them.
Yeah, and they don't have weapons or anything.
Yeah, 10,000 of them would mean nothing to an army. You just mow them down with M16s.
You know? Yeah, it's not. I think they might have been scarier if they had some kind of like magic powers or something.
Or they could shoot something. Or they had a grasp on technology.
Yeah.
Something like that. I could see how they would have been a formidable army maybe in the 1500s when you were dealing with single.
Yeah, before people had shot, like, you know,
single shot musket type.
Before
you
we
know,
had
matchlocks. You know, locks. But in the age of fucking armored vehicles, flamethrowers, and fucking automatic weaponry, and bombs, and aircraft, now these things would be annihilated.
Well, yeah, and especially because, like I said, it's only every 500 years.
Yeah.
There's just a few thousand of them in one cave in Nevada somewhere. Yeah. It's like, as long as somebody found them in there and just, like, blew the fucking cave up.
Yeah.
Sorry for another 500 years. But that's the thing. I think that even though the head gargoyle, who's played by Bernie Casey, by the way, who was, I think he was in some other shit later on, but I can't remember what it was. But, you know, even though he kind of comes across as sort of evil, like he's sort of a dick, but he's not entirely bad though. And in a way you can kind of sympathize with the gargoyles because they're not, you know, even though
doing gargoyle gonna right, gargoyle.
Yeah, gargoyle's gonna goyle. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And so it's just kind of like at the beginning, they're kind of like, oh, demons and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, they're just another species that are trying to dominate their environment, just like every other species does. So you kind of feel bad for them. Like, especially when you see like the little cute baby gargoyles like coming out of the eggs. And then later they go in there and just burn all the eggs up. And I'm like, oh, the baby goyles. Oh, no. You know what I mean?
What's funny is that he was kind of sadistic. He was kind of funny. He just pushed the dude. Remember that?
That made me laugh a lot, too.
He just pushed a motherfucker down some shit.
He didn't even have to do that.
Yeah, and they
kind of... He was just kind of like, bitch.
Now, their voices, they used some kind of effect on the voice that did not carry over too well to the digital copies. It sounds like static happening in the background.
Yeah, it was like a weird like vibration every time they talked. Like,
they were talking through something, and it was recorded. It was not digital. It was some kind of analog device that made that sound, that type of voice, and that voice was not impressive by today's standard. It wasn't even really that impressive by the standards of the 70s. They could have done a much better voices for them. It was good. I could see how it was like, might have been a pilot, might have been a decent pilot for a series that probably wouldn't have gone very far.
Yeah, because like at the end they kill most of the gargoyles, but then the head gargoyle and his girlfriend, whose one wing is missing, the dad, you know, Dr. like Mercer or whatever, Dr. Foley, Mercer's his first name, but he's kind of like, oh, well, you know, I wounded her, but it's like, here, I'll give you two a chance because y'all can breed. But I'm killing all the rest of these motherfuckers which seemed to me like pretty fair. You know what I mean? Cause he's like, it's just another, it's not their fault that they're gargoyles. You know what I mean?
The thing is that the gargoyle system, I don't think it had made a good series. It made a good monster movie, barely. Because they got their asses kicked pretty badly
by just some guys with some guns. We were just born, we all got shot.
Maybe the same could be said for the aliens out of Alien, like the Xenomorphs.
Yeah.
Ripley was like, oh, if these things get back to Earth, it's all over. You know, the Earth would be destroyed. Nah, the Marines shot them up pretty bad, too. As long as you could get to the Queens, you could keep them down, you know? But you could also say what made the aliens from the Xenomorphs a little more threatening is that evidently even a worker alien could turn a human being into an egg. And then an egg...
Yeah, I think that was kind of their main superpower.
Yeah, like a queen could lay an egg, but if you read the very... What they had cut out of the originally Alien 1, it grabbed Dallas and took him up in a thing, and Dallas was being absorbed and consumed and transforming into an egg.
Yeah.
Now, that egg might have had a queen in it. So anybody could make a queen under the right conditions.
Yeah, to me, that's what makes them scarier and more formidable. Yeah,
so they could reproduce.
Right.
These things really, you know, they'd lay eggs, but they'd lay dormant for 500 years. That's a long time. It's a long time to find them eggs and destroy them.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like a very good system.
They weren't reproducing quickly, so they'd be wiped out.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's why it never became a series.
Yeah, I don't know where you could go from there. It's like you kind of have to follow like the main gargoyle couple.
Right.
And then maybe it would be, they should have turned it into like a comedy where the gargoyles were like trying to like conceive the next generation of gargoyles.
The gargoyles would not have been a threat if it was something like out of one of those Bosch paintings where they're just spilling out of the ground in a huge fucking wave where it's not hundreds of thousands of them, it's hundreds of millions of them.
And like
but
I said,
they can't destroy them all.
They needed powers other than they can fly. They could, you know, like spit acid or something.
You'd
you know
have to
what
come
I mean?
Up with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, or like you said, they had like some kind of fucking weird
that
space
they could reproduce
technology.
With humans quickly.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the most Ripley worrying about the Xenomorphs getting back to Earth would be nothing compared to the worrying about the Thing getting off of Antarctica. Because if the Thing got out, you could
everybody
stop.
We'd all be fucked.
Yeah, you couldn't stop the Thing. That's a superior alien right there, just absorbing and mimicking everything.
Yeah, because you'd never know where he was. You'd like I said, know. That's why I would argue that the thing is probably the scariest.
That's the worst. That's the worst one.
Because you would never know.
Yeah, it could go eat. It could absorb Jenny and then come in here and walk in here as Jenny, knowing everything about Jenny, and I wouldn't even know that she
and
was
that I would
an alien.
Eat your face.
And then in an opportune moment, she'd just get me, make a copy of me. And then there'd be two of us. And then Pookies. Grab Pookie, and then it'd be a Pookie thing. Because remember the dogs? So whenever they transform the thing, you'd see faces of the dogs in there, too. Yeah. And then crab legs from other planets.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Pookie could be a thing right now.
Yeah,
Pookie She's could be just the in thing. There sleeping in the cat tree.
Pocahontas.
That's how I called her that yesterday.
Pocahontas. I started laughing.
I said she needs a little headdress or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I just remembered the guy that played the head gargoyle, Bernie Casey. Yeah. He was in The Mouth of Madness. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, really? Who did he play in The Mouth of Madness?
Ah, shit, man. Now I can't remember. He had so much fucking makeup on and that shit. I have to look up in his face again. I can't remember. But there's a couple of people in this, like the old dude in this that played Uncle Willie. He was in Devil's Reign, which we really need to review that one of these days because that movie is hilarious with William Shatner. And also, what's her face that played Diana? I think Jennifer Salt, I think her name is. She was also in Sisters, the Brian De Palma movie, which is another one that I want to review because that was really good. That had Margot Kidder in it as well. We were talking about that the other day, and that's actually really good. But so this movie, it's pretty short. I think it's only like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it is understandable.
Like I said, it's you know, it was for TV.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun early 70s slice of monster movie cheese, you know, from 70s TV. So, you know, if you're into that and you want to see some early Stan Winston makeup effects, then by all means, check it out. I think it's on Tubi, right? For free.
Yeah.
Might be some other places too, but yeah, you can watch it on there for nothing if you want to. And that'll do it for this review, unless you have anything else you would like to add.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, then we'll see you on the next one. Bye.